Welcome to day 97 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and today we will read through the book of Ruth. This book is 4 chapters long, and it tells one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible, and it is quite literally a glorious picture of redemption. Though it is a true historical story, and it gives us insight into the genealogy of King David and how Ruth, a Moabitess, meaning a Gentile, a non-Jewish person, ends up in the lineage of King David. And then, of course, that lineage leads on to the Messiah, Jesus Christ himself. And yet how inclusive and how far-reaching the mercy and grace and love of God are to include and reach out to all the nations of the world. That is part of the picture and the story of the book of Ruth. This book is believed to have been written by the prophet Samuel, according to Jewish tradition, and the time of its writing would have been during the days of the judges, as the very first verse instructs us, most likely written approximately around 1100 or 1150 BC. And so we will begin this beautiful book and finish it as well today. We are reading from the Amplified Bible, beginning at Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem of Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he, his wife, and his two sons. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi, and his two sons were named Mahlon, which means invalid, and Chilion, pining. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem of Judah. They went to the country of Moab and continued there. But Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. And they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. So the woman was bereft of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she left the place where she was, her two daughters-in-law with her, and they started on the way back to Judah. But Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go, return, each of you, to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find a home and rest, each in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband tonight and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it is far more bitter for me than for you that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." Then they wept aloud again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. And Naomi said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Urge me not to leave you or to turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said no more. So they both went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred about them and said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said to them, "Call me not Naomi, pleasant. Call me Mara, bitter, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Chapter 2. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go, my daughter." And Ruth went and gleaned in a field after the reapers, and she happened to stop at the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant who was set over the reapers, "Whose maiden is this?" And the servant set over the reapers answered, "She is the Moabitish girl who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued from early morning until now, except when she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but stay here close to my maidens. Watch which field they reap and follow them. Have I not charged the young men not to molest you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should notice me when I'm a foreigner?" And Boaz said to her, "I have been made fully aware of all you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and mother in the land of your birth and have come to a people unknown to you before. The Lord recompense you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken to the heart of your maidservant, though I am not as one of your maidservants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat of the bread and dip your morsel in the sour wine mixed with oil." And she sat beside the reapers, and he passed her some parched grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left for Naomi. When she got up to glean, Boaz ordered his young men, "Let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reproach her. And let fall some handfuls for her on purpose, and let them lie there for her to glean and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned. It was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the town. She showed her mother-in-law what she had gleaned. And she also brought forth and gave her the food she had reserved after she was satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who noticed you." So Ruth told her, "The name of him with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not ceased his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said to her, "The man is a near relative of ours, one who has the right to redeem us." And Ruth the Moabitess said, "He said to me also, 'Stay close to my young men until they have harvested my entire crop.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, "It is good, my daughter, for you to go out with his maidens, lest in any other field you be molested." So she kept close to the maidens of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to Ruth, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest or a home for you that you may prosper?" And now is not Boaz, with whose maidens you were, our relative? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash and anoint yourself, therefore, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, notice the place where he lies, then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. And Ruth said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had told her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then Ruth came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight the man was startled, and he turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Spread your wing of protection over your maidservant, for you are a next of kin." And he said, "Blessed be you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have made this last loving kindness greater than the former, for you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do for you all you require, for all my people in the city know that you are a woman of strength, worth, bravery, capability. It is true that I am your near kinsman. However, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will perform for you the part of a kinsman, good, let him do it. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman for you, then, as the Lord lives, I will do the part of a kinsman for you. Lie down until the morning." And she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. For he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Also he said, "Bring the mantle you are wearing and hold it." So Ruth held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the town. And when she came home, her mother-in-law said, "How have you fared, my daughter?" And Ruth told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, for he said to me, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he finishes the matter today." Chapter 4. Then Boaz went up to the city's gate, and sat down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz had spoken came by. He said to him, "Ho, turn aside and sit down here." So he turned aside and sat down. And Boaz took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." And they sat down. And he said to the kinsman, "Naomi, who has returned from the country of Moab, has sold the parcel of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to let you hear of it, saying, 'Buy it in the presence of those sitting here and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then say so, that I may know. For there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I am next of kin after you.'" And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "The day you buy the field of Naomi, you must buy also Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of the dead man, to restore the name of the dead to his inheritance." And the kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest by marrying a Moabitess I endanger my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now formerly in Israel, this was the custom concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, a man pulled off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the way of attesting in Israel. Therefore, when the kinsman said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he pulled off his sandal. And Boaz said to the elders and to all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Also, Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to restore the name of the dead to his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his birthplace. You are witnesses this day. And all the people at the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the household of Israel. May you do worthily and get wealth, power in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you by this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord caused her to conceive, and she bore a son. And the women said to Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close kinsman, and may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life, and a nourisher, and a supporter in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. And her neighbor women gave him a name, saying, A son is born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David, the ancestor of Jesus Christ. Now these are the descendants of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron of Ram, Ram of Amminadab, Amminadab of Nahshon, Nahshon of Salmon, Salmon of Boaz, Boaz of Obed, Obed of Jesse, and Jesse of David, the ancestor of Jesus Christ. This is the end of today's scripture reading and the end of the book of Ruth. Today's Bible reading brings us a story that, if it was just pure literature, would be a beautiful tale, and yet it is not simply good literature. It is Bible history. It's a historical narrative of events that actually occurred, and it gives us insight and revelation into the genealogy of both King David and then, of course, further down the generational line to actually Jesus Christ himself. And we see how the characters in the story of Ruth become woven into the genealogy of Christ. But we want to look today at the story of Ruth in two different ways. One, as an overview of the symbolism of this book, because the scripture tells us that the Old Testament is full of types and shadows, or you could say symbolism, that speak about New Testament realities. So we will look at it from that overview as the symbolic meaning of the story of Ruth and Boaz. But we also want to explore the actual characters in this narrative and examine their character qualities and their choices in life and how that affected their destinies. So we'll begin by taking a look at Naomi, who is described here in the first chapter of Ruth as a woman married to a man from Bethlehem who goes to sojourn in the country of Moab because there had been a famine in the land of Israel. The man's name was Elimelech. And it's interesting because that name means God is king, and he should have remembered that God was the king, and even if the country of Israel was going through difficult times, that the king could be called upon and pleaded with and prayed to for help and deliverance. But instead, Elimelech makes, we could say, a very poor decision in the sense that he chooses to try to escape the temporary circumstances of drought and famine that were affecting Israel and go and live among the Moabites. And the Moabites were a heathen people. They worshipped a god named Chemosh, to whom blood sacrifices, human sacrifice, had to be made to keep him appeased. So it was a very wicked culture, and one that the Israelites had been strictly forbidden in the Mosaic Law to associate with and definitely forbidden to intermarry with. And yet, Elimelech takes his family to that land, lives there, and the eventual result is that his two sons end up marrying Moabite women. We know that Elimelech's life was cut short. He died in Moab, and then his two sons, whose names were Mahlon, which meant invalid, and Chilion, which meant pining, both died as well. Obviously cut down in the prime of life, or young, must have been young men because they hadn't even born children with their wives yet. They both died quite young. And so the result is that Naomi, who had come from the land of Israel, ends up a widow and then also loses her two sons as she's living in this foreign land. And she is in amazing amount of grief, and she decides to go back to the land of Israel. And it's interesting because she has these two daughters-in-law whom she must have shared with about the God of Israel, no doubt the stories of how God delivered the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt and the miracles that were done to cause them to escape from Pharaoh and his army. Without a doubt, we're told in the course of their lives together, because oral history and repeating what God had done was part of the culture of Israel. And no doubt they had heard those stories of the God of Israel. And when the time came for Naomi to return to Bethlehem, she tried to discourage the two daughters-in-law from going with her because they both said they were going to follow her there. And yet the one daughter-in-law finally accepts her encouragement to stay and go back to her own mother's house. But the other one, whose name was Ruth, refused to leave her. Whether she thought about the stories that were told of this God of Israel or not, we don't know. But we do know that Ruth made a statement here in the first chapter of the book of Ruth that has been repeated throughout the centuries because it's so profound in its loyalty that's expressed and in its clarity of decision, that she decided she was going to go and follow the God of Israel. She says to Naomi, her mother-in-law, "Urge me not to leave you or to turn back from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." So that is a very clearly stated confession of faith that she had turned her heart from following after the Moabite god Chemosh and turned her heart to follow the God of Israel. Ruth displays her precious qualities of loyalty to her mother-in-law, of affection, of love, and of just determination to be faithful to the mother-in-law who had obviously loved her and been kind to her, even though she was a Moabite. So together the two women begin to return to Bethlehem. And I want to make a comment about Naomi's state of mind and perhaps her state of faith at that point. Because if you remember, she discouraged the girls, the two daughters-in-law, from going with her, telling her they didn't have anything to look forward to, that she was empty, she'd never be able to provide a son for them to marry, and that she didn't have anything to offer them. And she undoubtedly knew that they would not be exactly warmly embraced by the people of Israel because they were Moabites, as well as the fact that there'd be no really genuine way of them earning a living that was righteous as a young woman. So that was the reason, most likely, out of concern for the daughters-in-law, that she discouraged them. But at the same time, if you look at it from the standpoint of Naomi knew that the God of Israel is a God that can be called upon for his mercy, for his grace, for his faithfulness. And she must have been at a very low place of faith herself, because she couldn't encourage anyone else. She barely had faith for herself to even return to Israel. So she wasn't one that could encourage the daughters-in-law. And I say this to you, that when a Christian is in a place where their faith is very low, they can't encourage anyone. They certainly can't encourage fellow believers, and they aren't exactly going to be able to influence unbelievers toward the Lord. And truly, that's where Naomi is spiritually when she begins to go back to Israel. And when she arrives in the town, we find that the people of Bethlehem, the town where she was from, were all stirred up about their arrival. Imagine, she'd been gone for 10 years. They hardly recognized her. She must have been so changed. First of all, from the grief that she'd borne in losing a husband and two sons, and then from this journey that was over 100 miles that they took on foot. They probably looked absolutely beaten up, exhausted, weary, dirty, poor, and they came back with essentially nothing. And Naomi says to the people of her hometown, "Don't call me Naomi anymore," which means pleasant, "but call me Mara," which means bitter. And I want to comment on her next statement. She says, "For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me home empty." Now, I want you to remember that when you hear certain statements in the Bible, you have to be able to ascertain whether the statement that's being made by the party that's making it is actually saying something that is their opinion and the way that they feel, or is actually a word that is doctrinal. In other words, it's a word that God would say is truth. In this case, I will highly encourage you to consider the truth that God himself didn't bring her home empty, because that statement violates the spirit of what Jesus said in John 10:10, where he said, "The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and give it to you abundantly." He gave the mission statement of the adversary, Satan, and he gave his own mission statement. He came to bring life, abundant life, and Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Naomi had faced death, destruction, had been robbed of her husband, robbed of her sons, robbed of her wealth. So they must have wanted to protect, so to speak, their wealth by going to this other land while the drought was on, intending to come back and continue in the state of life that they'd had previously. But here she returns, not with any wealth, not with a husband, and not with any sons. And so she makes this bitter statement, blaming God for it, saying that God was the author of it, but that is not a true statement as far as the Lord is concerned. The reality is that Israel as a nation had broken God's law, and the Lord had clearly stated that if they worshiped false gods, then all these curses would come upon them, and one of them was famine and drought. And so that had come upon the whole land. It wasn't as if God himself had done this to this family, but that Israel was reaping what it sowed in its worship of idols and its turning its back upon the Lord. So her assessment is not a statement that can be taken as this was how God dealt with her personally. Secondly, her husband, Elimelech, had made a decision to go to a foreign nation and live among these heathen people, which was absolutely contrary to God's will for the Israelites. And so he really was responsible for bringing upon the family the very sad events that occurred. So you could say, as a result of his personal sin, that the family suffered such tragic losses as they did. So I just want to make that comment about Naomi's perspective not being an accurate perspective of the Lord and his dealings with people. But what Naomi ends up receiving shows the mercy of God and the grace of God towards this woman, as well as toward her daughter-in-law, Ruth, which we'll see shortly. Now, other character qualities that Ruth displays when they return from Moab to Bethlehem, we find that they have arrived just at the beginning of the barley harvest. And the Mosaic law provided for the poor during harvest time. They had this very beautiful law that was written for the Israelites that they were to allow the poor to come and glean behind the harvesters, meaning that the owner of the field, when he had people in the field harvesting, that they were to allow poor people to come in behind their harvesters and pick up any grain or produce that the harvesters missed. And that was to be both allowed, it was encouraged, and it was a way of helping to provide for the poor. So Ruth, who is a humble girl, tells her mother-in-law that she will go immediately out into the fields and begin to glean among the grain so that they can have some food to eat. And so she's willing to work hard. She's not afraid of appearing poor or being looked down upon by others. She just wants to be faithful to her mother-in-law and take care of them as best she can. So she goes to glean among the grain in a certain field. Providentially, you could say God arranged this, but unknowingly she goes to a field that happens to belong to a man named Boaz, who is a relative of Naomi's family, really Elimelech's family, her husband's family. And this ends up being absolutely a divine appointment, as we heard in the story. And we know that Boaz is a godly man. We are given this insight because this beautiful statement is made. Boaz goes to his field, and the people that he has working for him as harvesters, he greets them. He doesn't treat them roughly. He doesn't speak unkindly to them. The words that come out of his mouth are very gracious, and he says to them, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." So we see just from that introduction of Boaz that he's a godly man, that he's a gracious man, that he's a very kind employer. How beautiful that must have been to Ruth when she is in this field of a stranger. She doesn't know if she's going to be treated roughly by them or repelled, not allowed to glean in the field. But instead, she observes this owner of the property, one of the richest men in the area, being so kindly to the harvesters. That must have encouraged her heart. But then she's amazed by the kindness that Boaz shows to her personally. He could have not even noticed her, but instead he inquires about her. "Whose maiden is this?" And then he's informed that she's the Moabite girl that came back with Naomi from Moab. And she had inquired, she had asked politely if she would be allowed to reap behind, to glean behind the reapers, and she was given permission. No doubt because the harvesters knew that Boaz was a kind man and would not in any way ever turn away a gleaner, because he was godly and respected the laws of Moses. So once Boaz realized who this young woman is, he gives instructions to his harvesting crew and tells them, "Do not touch her. If she needs water, you're to let her drink out of your own vessels." And in fact, when it comes time for lunch, he himself shares the food he's brought for himself with Ruth. So we see this amazing show of kindness to a stranger, in fact, to a Gentile, to someone outside of Israel. And Boaz tells her that he has heard of the kindness that she has shown to her mother-in-law, and how she left her own country in the land of her birth and came to an unknown place. And he tells her, "The Lord recompense you for what you've done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." So we see this godly man speaking kindly and graciously and in an encouraging way to her, and encouraging her as she has made a decision to come and take refuge under the wings of the God of Israel. And so this surely endears Boaz to Ruth's heart, and Boaz continues to be impressed with her character. He shares his own meal with her when the lunchtime arrives, and he tells his harvesters to intentionally allow some of the grain to fall on the ground for her to collect. So he's trying to provide for her and for Naomi in a special way without shaming them. And once Naomi realizes that it is Boaz that has shown this kindness to Ruth, when she comes home with her bushel full of grain and she's amazed at how she could have collected that much in a single day, she realizes this man is the one that is a kinsman redeemer potential for them. And the law of the kinsman redeemer was also a law that was put into place to enable the Israelites, when an Israelite man died and left a widow without children, that the kinsman redeemer would be able to redeem the property that had belonged to him. And in this case, Elimelech had sold his property before he left for Moab, and it could be redeemed by payment to the person who had bought it. But now that Elimelech was dead, they needed a male kinsman redeemer to step in and redeem it for Naomi and Ruth. But when they would do that, then they would take responsibility for all that had belonged to that man, to Elimelech, and in the case of Naomi and Ruth, the son who had been the husband to Ruth, who had died, the widow then would also belong to the kinsman redeemer. And he would have to take her as a wife and then raise up children, offspring, in the name of the one who had died. So this was a Mosaic law that was set into place. And it was to prevent poverty coming to a family such as we see here, and also in order that the continuation of the family name. So Boaz, it was thought by Naomi, was in that position of kinsman redeemer. Jewish scholars say that Boaz was most likely first cousin to Elimelech. But Boaz, after he hears about it, realizes there's actually someone who's a closer relative, and that he's going to have to give that person the first opportunity to buy Elimelech's property and take the wife that came along with the deal, which would have been Ruth. So we find this beautiful conclusion to the story when Boaz explains the situation to the nearest kinsman redeemer, another relative of the family. And when he hears that the land is available, he's more than happy to buy it. But when he hears if he buys the land, he also gets the wife that belonged to Elimelech's son Mahlon, he quickly rescinds his offer to buy it and tells Boaz, "You redeem it. I cannot redeem it for myself." Whether this man's resistance to taking on Ruth as a wife was because she was a Moabitess, or because he had a wife already and he didn't want to cause problems in the family, he doesn't explain. He simply says, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest by marrying a Moabitess I endanger my own inheritance." So perhaps he already had children and he didn't want that to in any way disturb the inheritance that he would pass on to his sons by bringing in this other person who he's supposed to raise up offspring for, Mahlon, who is now dead. So we don't know the reason for his refusal, but through his refusal, Boaz comes into the position where he can now be the kinsman redeemer. Boaz, as we said, was a godly man. He was more than willing to do this duty, as it was in Israel, to become the kinsman redeemer. He takes Ruth as the wife. They bear a son together, who ends up being Obed, the father of Jesse, who is the father of David, who becomes the king of Israel. And if that wasn't enough, Boaz and Ruth also end up as great-great-great-great-great grandparents of not only King David, but then Jesus himself through the lines of both Joseph and Mary. So they end up in a situation where they are blessed to be in the lineage of not only the most illustrious king of Israel, David, but also of the Messiah of Israel himself, Jesus Christ. What a story. But the overview of this book of Ruth is precious for us as believers today from this standpoint. The picture of a Moabitess woman, someone who's outside of the tribe of Israel. She is not an Israelite. She is a Moabitess. You could say a shunned people, because they were people that were hated by the Israelites due to the wickedness that had been done through the Moabites attacking the Israelites at different times. They'd had great wars between them. And also the fact that they served this wicked god Chemosh, who required human sacrifice to satisfy his thirst for blood. And it was a very horrifically idolatrous culture. And so that was the place from which this young lady came. And yet she made the decision to follow the God of Israel, a clear choice of faith. Whereas the other daughter-in-law, who had the same opportunity as Ruth, went back to serve her own gods, the gods of the Moabites. We never hear anything more of that young lady again. But here is Ruth, who ends up in the genealogical line of King David and then Christ Jesus himself, because she made that choice to follow the God of Israel and be faithful to her mother-in-law and put herself under the shadow of the wings of the God of Israel, as Boaz portrayed it. She was a faithful woman. She was a devoted daughter-in-law. She was a hard worker. She was willing to do whatever it takes to provide as best as she could as a woman for her mother-in-law. So we see these really beautiful character qualities. She was a woman of honor, and she was modest, and in every area, just her character was so beautiful. And then Boaz took note of that, and he, being a godly person himself, was willing, more than willing, to take her in as a wife, and together they become these relatives or great-grandparents to King David and onward. But the picture for us as believers is this. The Lord chose the Israelites, we could say the Jewish nation, to be this chosen people of God. And it was through Abraham and his descendants that the Savior of the whole world would come to be born. And those who are outside of the lineage of the Israelites are referred to as Gentiles. So if you are not Jewish, you're a Gentile, as I am myself. And yet this story tells us how loving God is, because he includes this Gentile woman and brings her in to the lineage of the Messiah. So we see this picture of redemption, of God redeeming someone and bringing them in, and you could say grafting into the vine of Israel, a Gentile people. And that's really the story of redemption. Jesus came through the Jews, but not for the Jews first, for redemption for sure, but for the whole world. Because you and I can become part of the family of God. We can be grafted into the vine that was a Jewish vine to start with. Jesus was Jewish. We can be grafted in by our faith in Jesus Christ. Just like Ruth put her faith in the God of Israel, and Boaz, as though representing Jesus, redeemed Ruth, quite literally, redeemed her, brought her into the family, and together they were fruitful for the kingdom of God. And that is the story of the Gentiles today. Jesus redeems us and grafts us into the vine of his own family. We become part of that family, Christians and Jews together, able to find our Savior, Jesus Christ, and become part of the family of God through faith in the Messiah. And what a beautiful picture this story of the kinsman redeemer representing Jesus as our redeemer, one who ransoms us out of bondage and brings us into his family. That is the story of Ruth, and that is the story of our redemption through Jesus Christ. And it's such a beautiful story, though we don't deserve it, though Ruth didn't deserve it. She's from an idolatrous nation, yet she's brought in, she's redeemed by the kinsman redeemer. A price is paid. Boaz literally had to pay money to redeem both the land and Ruth as his future wife. He had to pay that money, and through that redemption price, he brought her into his family. Through the redemption price of Jesus' blood, we are brought into his family. What a precious story. It's the story of our salvation as well. God bless you, and may you have a fruitful and encouraging week.